Welcome to the intersection here on GabNet. Now, if you want to join me, all you need to do is go to GabNet.net. That's GABNET.net. And click on Amy Manuel's intersection on the right-hand side of the page. And then that'll take you to our Zoom session where our panel meets to discuss things. Now, I know we've said we're just going to do trivia and other fun games, but I feel like we really need to talk about so much that is going on in this world, and I'm waiting. I'm going to do Friday, we're going to do Dare to be Stupid trivia, but today, because I took a week off, I went down to get my rock on, as it were. I went down to the Texas Gulf Coast with a group of other rock hounds, and we went to various places to look for shells and fossils and interesting things. That was a lot of fun and really relaxing, and I did not turn on the TV once. And then, when I got back, even though I recorded a week's worth of Lawrence O'Donnell and a couple of Rachel Maddows and other things, you know, the late night shows that I always watch, Stephen Colbert, Seth Meyers, now Jimmy Kimmel, I've added. I didn't want to watch any of those when I got home either on Friday. I watched my soap operas. I watched my various mystery programs like Watson and Elsbeth and Only Murders in the Building. I watched the entirety, you know, most of season one and all of season two of Severance. I watched Chad Barris. I watched so many things, but I didn't want to watch anything real. I just wanted it all fiction. And while I was away, I didn't watch it there either, but I did keep up just a little bit by checking on Blue Sky, and I've got the few people that I have that I get notifications on are independent journalists and people like Texas Paul, who was on vacation, so he wasn't doing his show, so I wasn't even doing that, listening to that show. And so I was only getting tidbits of what was going on in the world. And because I was with David, whenever I was in the car, we were listening to music. We weren't listening to NPR, which is what I normally do when I'm in my car. So it was very different. I don't know about you, every so often I just need a break. But I did go to the No Kings March in Denton. Did you go to a No Kings March in your town? 7 million of us showed up. And I had a couple of MAGA friends on Facebook post, you know, when I posted some pictures and videos from Denton, where I ran into my friend Dan Burnham, whose brother used to be a state rep and one of my favorite state reps. And Dan was actually bleeding. He had been playing the bongos so hard that he cut his thumb on the edge of the bongos. He played the bongos till he bled. Fortunately, I keep band-aids on me, and so I bandaged him up, and he could go back to playing. But at that point, the rain had started and it was, you know, 1 o'clock, people were starting to dissipate and go out. But it was fun and it was joyous. And somebody said, yeah, we saw one member of the Denton police force and he was kind of smiling and giving us the thumbs up. But one of the MAGA folks on Facebook said, oh, you know, if we had a king, you wouldn't have been able to have that protest. And I'm like, what were they going to do? Arrest all 7 million of us? There were huge throngs of people everywhere, from cities small, from small towns to large cities, the huge crowds in Boston and LA and Chicago. And yet there were things that have happened, that the tear gassing of little kids trick-or-treating, that it's just the gross things going on. It really, really got to me. Now, I would like to discuss this with some folks. So, where are my regulars? I wonder if they're running into issues with needing. There were some very big updates. So, if you're on a Windows computer, well, you might need to do some downloads and updates and reboots and then more downloads and updates and reboots. And that's just kind of how things go. But I gotta say, it was so nice to just take a week off and pretend that all this shit wasn't happening. But I couldn't help but see the destroying of the East Wing. That's just gross. And the very idea that I had some friends on Facebook, because, you know, I'm still in contact with a lot of people. When it comes to, you know, up here in North Texas, pretty much everybody I know because of my involvement in politics. So, you know, they're liberal Democrats like me. But when it comes to, you know, my friends from back home in Beaumont, well, there's a few MAGAs in that bunch. And so, to have them say, well, you know, these other presidents did these things, and if it was anybody else, you wouldn't complain. No, no one else took down an entire wing. And just, what are the plans? And he's going to build a 90,000 square foot ballroom? Explain this. That's not a ballroom. I love Steve Shive's version of this. He's turning the White House into a mega church. Oh, here's Charlie. Hey, Charlie, you're first on. Just you and me. Oh, okay.
Well, I'm glad I got in. I'm sorry I'm so late.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. I was just talking about how I spent all last week completely, except for, you know, on my phone occasionally checking Blue Sky, just avoiding. I didn't watch TV the entire time we were down on the Gulf Coast. And y'all know me. I that's pretty much all I do. Yeah. Oh, here you comes Alan.
Disconnected, huh?
I disconnected. And I just had the best time. But even when I got back, I didn't want to watch the news. I didn't want to watch. Texas Paul was on a working vacation, so he wasn't doing his live show. And I had a week's worth of Rachel Maddow and Lawrence O'Donnell to catch up on. I didn't watch any of those. All I did was watch my soaps and watch, you know, Elsbeth and Watson and all these. I watched all of the series of Severance. I've now seen both seasons.
Wow. Wow.
That is a weird show. Have you seen this yet?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Okay. I don't know about you, Alan, but Charlie, you would love it. I'm sure there's a book series, science fiction book series that it's based on.
Oh, it's science fiction. Oh, okay. Well, what is it on Apple TV or something?
Yeah, it's on Apple TV.
Oh, that's the one streaming service I do not have.
You don't have it. There are now two seasons. The first season, I think, came out like during the pandemic, and then this year the second season came out. And it's just very weird about this process that they have where they sever people's personalities. So when they're at work, their work personality knows nothing of their outie, as they're called, the innie and the outie, the person outside. They don't know if they have any, you know, if a spouse or kids or anything like that. And it's all about that. And it's just a really, really weird show, but fascinating. So I highly recommend it. But yeah, I just tuned out for a week and it was lovely. But I still would kind of watch Blue Sky, and so of course I saw the East Wing get demolished.
That just came out of nowhere. I turned on the TV one day and half the East Wing was gone.
Yeah, just and I was just saying before you and Alan showed up, the audacity of some of my MAGA friends. I don't have any MAGA friends up here in North Texas. They're all folks that I grew up with down in Beaumont, you know. And these people saying, well, you know, if it had been any other president, nobody would care. But because it's Trump. No other president has done anything like this. And it's gross. It's just absolutely grotesque.
And apparently it's even worse than that because East Wing was old enough that there was still asbestos throughout the ceilings and all that got spread everywhere. There was nothing done.
Yeah, they did. Of course, because that's how Trump does things. You know, even as a builder, He does slapdash. He doesn't pay his contractors. He doesn't do things properly. He doesn't get prior approval.
Yeah.
And I just read that he. Let me see if I can find. I kept going through and saving different pictures out to new tabs, and I'm just. Have I got this one? He just fired the people that approve of things like what he's done at the White House. If you do your job correctly, he gets rid of you. He puts his name on shit. People who do things like approve coin, he's going to put out his own coin with his picture on both sides.
On both sides.
On both sides.
I heard the one side was going to show a donkey. I think a donkey would be appropriate. And I'm not joking. I mean, I didn't hear that, but I'm not joking. I think a donkey on one side and him on the other would be appropriate.
Yeah, except for that's the symbol of the Democratic Party.
Oh, sorry. I forgot about that, but that's
I do. I love the shirts that said, "Whoever heard of a good piece of elephant?"
Yeah, well, that's a good. I haven't heard of that.
But I've seen good. That one.
I guess we can use an elephant's ass on instead of a donkey. Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy. So here, this is from this morning, because I had people say, well, you know, if he was a king, because I posted some pictures and videos of the No Kings rally. Did any of y'all go to a No Kings rally?
No.
No.
No, but we saw your pictures.
Yes.
They were being posted.
Well, and my friend, I love that Dan banged on the bongos till his thumbs bled.
Mm.
So, you know, I had some friends that say, well, if he was a king, you wouldn't have been able to protest. And I was like, what? He was going to arrest all 7 million of us?
Yeah.
Where was he going to get the police force? And what was he going to do with all of those people? In Boston, in L.A., in all these huge cities, how was he? They staged... In Portland, they staged a riot. They backed up a group until they had them blocked between two sets of I don't know if they're DHS or ICE or National Guard or what, but then they threw flashbangs and tear gas and stuff into this small area where they had them all packed, and everybody hit the ground, and it looked like a riot. It looked like a riot had broke out, but they just staged the whole thing, and they had cameras set up so that they could catch it looking like there was violence.
So you can get the smoke grenades without the irritant in it, without the pepper spray, OC gas in it. It's just smoke, and it's for training. And so that's probably what they use. They probably didn't actually use the actual...
It doesn't matter. They made it look like there was violence when there wasn't. They staged it.
Yep, they don't mind lying.
But so I was reading this morning, and I came across this one post. This is a question that was asked of Trump. What do you mean? What did you mean when you said you're prepared to send more than the National Guard into American cities? And this was Trump's response. I want to enact a certain act. I'd be allowed to do whatever I want. The courts wouldn't get involved. Nobody would. I could send Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, anybody I want. Those are Trump's words. That's what we mean by wannabe king. He thinks he can do whatever he wants. I just don't even know where to begin with that. Oh, here it is. This was just announced. The White House has fired 6 members of the U.S. Commission of Fine Arts, the independent federal agency that advises the President and Congress on the design plans for monuments, memorials, coins, and federal buildings. The 7-member commission is made up of experts in architecture, art, urban, and landscape design. Since its creation in 1910, the commission has reviewed plans for everything from Arlington National Cemetery to Mai Lin's Vietnam Veterans Memorial. The commissioners who were terminated are Bruce Redmond Becker, Peter D. Cook, Lisa E. DePlace. Well, We don't need to know their names. It's just gross. Mm-hmm. All right. It's just another thing that happened today. It's just today. So much happened last week while we were out. And I can barely talk about it because so much has happened today. DOJ submits new airbrushed sentencing memo for Taylor Taranto, scrubbing references to his role in January 6th Capitol siege and Trump's social media post that led him to go to Obama's neighborhood with weapons. So, and if you go online, you can find the original and the cleaned up version. Now, you know, what I've been hearing is that people say that are smarter than me and know something about legal stuff. This, I believe the judge has seen both. I wonder if that will affect the judge's... What do you think? Wayne, what do you think?
No comment. No thanks. not getting involved. Alex will lose his channel if I comment on him.
I mean, how can he lose his channel?
Well, no comment. I'm going to stick with that.
I mean, fuck.
So let me go. I really don't know what you're talking about, so I can't comment either. And I actually thought when you were talking about Portland that Portland put on this thing to make it look like there was a riot, which confused me too. What you meant, though, I realized after at your last sentence that you meant that the government did that.
Yeah, the Trump administration.
I was totally lost there too, and that's why I said they don't need to use the real thing; they can just use smoke grenades.
No, it's all of the protests were peaceful and fun, and a lot of singing of folk songs and people in inflatable costumes.
I saw it on the news too.
Yeah, and you know, first it was gonna be it's gonna be Antifa and the worst of the worst, and all this, and then it was, well, they're all old boomers.
What is Antifa? Nobody can ever tell me.
Anti-fascist.
I know what it's.
Is there? It's not an organization.
No, it's. Yeah, whatever.
It just means that you're against fascism, which, you know, the United States of America in World War II was anti-fascist.
Yeah. And now we got a pro-fascist president.
Yeah, now we have a pro-fascism president. We do. Oh, that was another thing that happened last week. That we had the young Republicans and I mean, you know, the young Democrats are no younger. These were people in their 30s and 40s. So they weren't that young, with text chains talking about how they like Nazi shits and then we had that one guy running for something in Maine, either governor or senator, who was a Democrat who turns out has Nazi tattoos. And my son was saying last night, that he's seen some on the left defending the guy with the Nazi tattoos.
On the left?
Yeah.
Wow.
There was, you know, oh, he just, you know, he just got some tattoos and he's covered up one of them, but turns out he had another. But they were like every day I was seeing something about, you know, other than that one Democrat that a lot of people are saying, maybe he's not such a Democrat. There was some Republicans and Nazi shit, like multiple days, multiple stories in multiple locations. This happened this evening. Trump put out this post. I'm not making it up. I'm reading the post directly. The United States has more nuclear weapons than any other country. This was accomplished, including a complete update and renovation of existing weapons during my first term in office because of the tremendous destruction power. I hated to do it, but had no choice. Russia is second, and China is the distant third, but will be even within 5 years. Because of other countries' testing programs, I have instructed the Department of War to start testing our nuclear weapons on an equal basis. That process will begin immediately. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. That happened at 9 p.m. tonight. So, why? Thoughts, anyone? We're going to start testing nuclear weapons again? Why? Why?
Trump's insane.
And now,
if we test them, we're going to use the warheads and the test, and then we got to replace them. So his buddies get to sell us more warheads.
I guess so. Who wants to be making nuclear warheads? Who wants to be making nuclear weapons? There are a lot of much less dangerous, much more profitable weapons that his buddies could be making. This is that.
The thing is, to me, is nuclear warheads are kind of the ultimate missile tipped, you know, thing. I mean, it's a scary thing if we ever get into a nuclear war.
So we stopped testing. I feel like that stopped in the 80s when I was in high school still. Folks, I'm in my 60s.
Wow.
And for quick, I find myself longing for the good old days of Ronald Reagan, and that is insane. Yeah. I'm just trying to imagine myself going back and telling my young self in my teens and 20s that someday you will long for the days of Ronald Reagan, because I would not believe it. Young me would not believe that I would think that we would have a president so awful that I would think Ronald Reagan was good. But here we are. This happened tonight. Steve Bannon said, Trump is going to get a third term and people ought to just get accommodated to that. And Roger Stone, now I wonder if this is actual, I've posted this question because I'm not sure, is this the real Roger Stone, or is this, you know, somebody mocking him? Roger Stone says, the 22nd Amendment to the U.S. Constitution makes it impossible for Donald Trump to have another term. Steve Bannon, who knows little about American politics, does know that this is an attempt by a slovenly buffoon and Jeffrey Epstein associates to get clicks. And then he writes, and if he does have a plan, in quotes, it must be illegal like his last one. I urge readers to send him a bar of soap. He desperately needs a bath. Yeah, so Constitution, I saw that little Mikey Johnson.
Michael Tiny Johnson.
Yeah. Okay, that's right. You're right. That's better. Michael Tiny Johnson has stated that, you know, the obvious, it's impossible to get that done. It would require an amendment to the Constitution, which you couldn't get done in time for the next election. So it's just not possible.
Doesn't he need 2/3 of the governors to approve something like that?
You need the states, 2/3 of the states to ratify it. You need, you need the House and the Senate, and there's just no way that that's going to happen.
So he won't have there'll be no election, and he'll just stay over. I see something not good coming. He wants that third term. He wants to be in office till he dies.
I think he's going to die before his third term. So there's that. I'm pretty sure.
I started praying this morning.
That MRI they have not explained.
I don't even know why he brought it up.
Yeah, it's really
probably common at his age to have an MRI or a CAT scan.
Not it's you know, 6 months. He had it. They do an MRI because they're looking for something, so they probably think he had a stroke. I'm just guessing. I don't know. But then they did a cognitive test. They did another cognitive test. And he was bragging about his cognitive test and didn't think that it. And he stated, low IQ Jasmine Crockett and AOC.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Kimmel is saying, I will host this. Let's put it on air. Let's do a IQ challenge between these three, or any two of them. But if they're giving you a cognitive test, it's because they think you have dementia.
Yeah.
It's not an IQ test.
It's not because you have a UTI.
Right. And it's not an IQ test. It is absolutely not an IQ test. It is we think grandpa's losing it. Yep. And yet he brags about it. That in and of itself is insane. Here's another thing that happened today. Because there's so much shit just happening just today. I can barely cover what happened last week when I was gone because so much shit happened today. From Pete Hegseth and his account reads Secretary of War Pete Hegseth. There has been no change. That has to be done by an act of Congress. It is still the Department of Defense, and he is still Secretary of Defense, not war. You childish man baby. But he says, earlier today, at the direction of President Trump, the Department of War carried out a lethal kinetic strike on yet another narco-trafficking vessel operated by designated terrorist organization DTO in the Eastern Pacific. This vessel, like all the others, was known by our... that's all I've got, because I've just got a picture of it. I don't have the actual post. Alan, what do you think?
I'm confused. Pete Hegseth is an idiot. You posted something earlier in chat. Maybe I know one of the lawyers in this Tylenol thing with Texas.
Yeah.
Johnson & Johnson holds the trademark for Tylenol.
Right.
And their stock's not doing very well. I happen to own a few hundred shares. But that being said, they are one of the largest pharmaceuticals in the world, and they are going to hire very powerful attorneys.
Oh, I am 100% positive that they have a bank of lawyers, probably a whole floor at least, of lawyers on staff that work for them round the clock.
Absolutely. They all use their Johnson's baby powder in their shoes and stuff. Right. That was the last thing. I would bet if you could get to the bottom of this, you will find out that RFK Jr. doesn't like Johnson & Johnson, and he had to pick something. Or I don't know what. How he came to this conclusion in the world.
He probably saw some...
The world has weighed in and said, there's absolutely no evidence that Tylenol causes that problem.
I mean, yeah, there's no evidence. I would love to be the attorneys for Johnson & Johnson representing their Tylenol. Yeah. Because...
Well, the only trouble is if they lose, and that can happen, but... I don't see how, but if
they lose... I don't think they're going to lose.
I don't think they're going to lose either. But if they lose, if you like Tylenol, even generic brand Tylenol, RFK Jr. will probably pull it all off the market.
You know,
in another country.
I think that they're going to... I think that they're... They're going to sue just for, do you remember way back, I think this was in the 90s or early 2000s, where Texas cattle farmers sued Oprah for, you know, defaming their product?
Do you remember that? No.
It was a cattle ranchers organization sued Oprah Winfrey because she was talking about mad cow disease and saying you shouldn't eat beef. And, you know, it damaged their bottom line. Well, this has certainly damaged bottom line for Johnson & Johnson. And, you know, like I said, I would love to be one of those attorneys because that's just tied up in a neat little bow for them. But yeah, this, what this was about that I was talking about with Hegseth, is this was another extrajudicial war crime. They're just murdering fishermen. These boats that they're bombing, they're not big enough to make it all the way to the United States. It's thousands of miles. And, like, one of the boats was actually heading back towards Venezuela.
Yeah.
So the... And, you know, the so-called... Bibi Netanyahu did more bombing. He says he's back on his... The ceasefire's back on after I did a bunch of bombing and killed a bunch of people in Gaza. Yeah. That's not a ceasefire. And it never was. It's insane.
Tylenol has a new maker as of 2023. It's a spin-off from Johnson & Johnson. I think Johnson & Johnson still holds the patent and everything. Canoe. K-E-N-V-E-V-U-E. I guess I wasn't aware of that. Oh, well. It was spun off in 2023. But anyhow, Johnson & Johnson's going to be in the middle of this thing. They're announced already.
Legal
challenges ahead. So.
Yeah, and then the Texas Attorney General criminal one, Ken Paxton, who should be in prison. He shouldn't be the top attorney in Texas. He should be behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
Is suing Johnson & Johnson.
Right.
But I have something on this. This was from the chief of staff of Mike Pence. Mark Short posted, Surgeon General nominee wants to ban Tylenol for pregnant women while talking to trees and consulting her spiritual medium. This is nuts. Fact check. Casey Means never completed her residency program, has an expired medical license, talks to trees, participated in full moon ceremonies, has used illegal psychedelic mushrooms. How does this make her qualified to be America's top doc? That's our Surgeon General. Has no medical license. Oh. Didn't complete her residency.
Maybe I should write to the president and ask for that position. I probably have more medical knowledge than she does.
You're probably more qualified.
Usually, I don't usually talk to trees unless I planted a tree and it's not growing the way I want.
I mean, it's then a really good song. Then I usually call
Wayne and get advice on how you get a big tree.
I think it's from Paint Your Wagon, isn't it, Charlie? You're muted, by the way. Charlie, you're muted.
Oh, when you were sleeping, you had to keep.
So, isn't that from Paint Your Wagons? I talk to the trees, but they don't listen to me. I think that's from Paint Your Wagon.
I think it is, yeah.
Okay, I mean, it's a good song, but not a good quality for a Surgeon General.
I guess I'll add something here. I think that Trump taking away food stamps, I haven't heard much of the news today other than on this show, but I'm assuming that's still on. I think that's going to define him and the Republican Party as being.
Yeah, it's both happening Saturday.
What? Well, here's the thing. There is a rainy day fund with like $6 billion in it, specifically for continuing payouts of SNAP benefits.
Right, but Trump won't approve it.
Yeah, Trump won't let him use it. And that's that they. But
this is going to be something in 2026 when people go to the polls that they're going to remember.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a paint wagon. Yeah.
I just hope Here's the only thing that concerns me, because this, you know, I've seen it happen in Texas too many times, is that something like this happens a year out, and a year later they've forgotten
all about it. Yeah.
All of those farmers and ranchers should have learned about Trump the first time.
Yep.
When he screwed them over with his first administration, and yet they voted for him again and again. I do not understand.
I guess there's a lot more stupid people in this country. I mean, you know,
and voters have short memories.
You're absolutely right. So we'll have to make up signs. Remember how you went hungry for 3 weeks while Trump was eating in the new ballroom?
Right. Trump was spending money on ballrooms and sending he wants to send another $40 billion because the policies didn't change in Argentina because of the chainsaw guy. You remember the chainsaw guy that did his own rock concert when he got all our money? We can afford to send $40 billion there, but we can't feed. It's mostly children and elderly people that are getting these SNAP benefits.
And homeless.
And homeless people.
People are, I mean, this is such a, I don't know how to put it. It's such a mess because people will want to eat. And the homeless go out and they steal food and stuff from stores. And they dumpster dive and they do all kinds of things. But people that are poor or in a convalescent or elderly or something like that don't think that way. And they're going to be forced into doing criminal acts, you know, like stealing food out of a store or
something
like that.
If you're a senior citizen and housebound, you can't go do any of that kind of stuff.
See, this is all going to happen
again.
And it's
disabled people. And it's senior citizens, you know.
Absolutely.
It's like with Medicaid. The large majority of people on Medicaid are in nursing homes.
Absolutely. They're going to vote for Trump and the Republicans in 2026 and the day after the laws are even signed in, he's going to take Medicare away from everybody. Not Medicare, but Medicaid.
Yeah, there are already a bunch of rural hospitals that are on the verge of shutting their doors.
Yeah, I've
right.
heard that.
Yeah,
I've
I mean,
heard that.
And what's happening with the reason for the shutdown is the Democrats are saying if you take away these subsidies for the ACA, for people on ACA plans, all of these people, which is millions of people, their premiums are going to go up in some cases 1,000% or more. While you can't lower by 1,000%, you can raise
you can
by
raise.
That.
Yeah.
Well, I'm certainly, I'm certainly upset. I mean, I have a niece that is homeless by her choice, and she's now calling her old boyfriends and everybody to get food money. And the family got together, even though she doesn't like my mother and I, especially, go figure. Anyhow, my mother's an angel, but and I'm not, but we're putting money together and getting money to her so she can go buy food and live on a park bench. But I have a neighbor down the street that I went around my neighbors a week ago and wanted to make sure that they were all going to be okay food-wise and found a couple neighbors that are not going to be okay. And so I talked to some of my other neighbors that are like me that can afford to spend a little bit of money and get them some food, some groceries. So we're going to do that too.
Yeah. I mean, if you can donate to your local food bank, and I saw something, somebody listed what they need and what they want, you know, certain things are helpful and certain things are not. Like, real common one is mac and cheese, but then you need milk and you can't get the milk. So if you can, like, canned milk is a good thing to donate, is one of the good things to donate. And so if you're doing, if you're bringing stuff, vegetables and things, you know, fresh produce.
So in a city as big as Fremont, I don't know how big Denton is, but.
That's 150,000 approximately.
Okay, so Fremont's got about 225,000. It's a big city by Bay Area standards. So it's the third or fourth largest in the area, but that's beside the point. There's one food bank that's still in existence in Fremont. And you got to be able to get there. And a lot of people don't have the money to get to this food bank.
Right.
And the food bank says, we got to rent a warehouse and we got to find money. Fortunately, the city of Fremont's flush with money and they're going to rent a warehouse, you know, with a forklift and everything, a big warehouse to store food in for people in Fremont.
Well, we've got more than that in Denton. Denton's 165,000. 166,000 as of last year. But we do have more than that. But one of the things I was reading about, there's a grocery store chain in Texas called HEB. And HEB has been doing a lot to support the local food banks and things like that. Just, you know, if you live somewhere where you have HEB, go support. We actually don't have an HEB in Denton. I'm not sure, even sure where the nearest one is.
A lot of the churches and synagogues in the area are collecting and distributing because they're not government controlled.
During the pandemic, one of the things that started happening, I know Temple Emmanuel in Dallas did this, is they started community gardens and were, you know, donating the produce from their community gardens to local food banks. And there are actually a couple of community gardens here in Denton that are just, you know, like people can grow vegetables in this public space.
Trump is doing this to get the Democrats to drop their demand, to settle the budget so he can get his way and screw everybody on their health care.
Yeah.
And I think that Social Security or Medicare.
That's his plan.
Yep. I have a feeling. And people that are on Social Security might have a little longer memory, I hope. I mean, without food, you're really a mess. That's a bad thing. But, you know, without a place to live, without Medicare, there's somebody on the show, I'll leave nameless because we're on the air, but that won't be able to survive very long without his Social Security check. So it's going to be very unfortunate.
Yeah, It's really sad, and the Medicaid is important to so many people, and honestly, this hurts red states harder.
Absolutely.
Trump's policies hurt his voters the hardest.
His base,
all of those rural voters, all of those farmers, his policies hurt them.
Yep.
More
and
than
that's where the hospitals are closing too.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
In red states, absolutely.
And the in those rural red areas, even, you know, even in California, it's those rural areas that are hardest hit. And it's, you know, the breadbasket of Iowa. She's hurting Iowa farmers left and right. And Indiana and Nebraska, all of those farm states, they get hurt the hardest. And when you go and you take, you know, you take all their workers and throw them in camps, and you, and then you hurt it. You know, you put tariffs on China and they stop buying their products, and you shut down the USAID, so you stop buying their farm products to send to other countries, and then you help out Argentina and you tell you want to buy Argentinian beef.
The chancellor of Germany said that he thought, or she thought, I think it's a he now. Angela Merkel's gone, I believe. But anyhow, said that this is probably about the lowest thing Trump could do to America right now, is to take their food.
Yeah. It's just gross.
They said, anybody that wants to come to Germany, if you can afford it, come to Germany. We'll take care of you. And Italy dittoed it. The Prime Minister of Italy or the President of Italy said, same thing. Come here. We'll take care of you. This will never happen to you here.
Right. You know, Denmark, there are a lot of places. Hey, you'll get free health care and probably free college.
Canada. You don't have to fly out around the world. You can go to Canada.
Yeah. Free health care, free college.
It's going to turn the world of this country into a third world country.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really quite sad.
I mean, this may sound sad, but I'm really happy that I'm towards the end of my life. You know, I feel sorry for a lot of people, grandchildren and children. Charlie's got children that are going to be around 30, 40, 50 more years and have to live in this country. And Amy too, her kids.
Yep.
Wayne and I are the only two that are kidless, as far as we know.
Yep, Charlie and I and Ray, we all have kids.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Ray's got special needs kids.
Right.
Boy, when they kept Medicaid.
That's good. Yeah, that's going to hurt him especially personally.
We're going to know people that are hurting.
I think everybody's going to know someone.
I think so.
Yep.
I think so.
You know, they're going to know somebody whose parents were, you know, on Medicaid. I know my dad, yep. In his final years, he was getting Medicaid support to keep him in the memory care unit. Mm-hmm. This is my own dad.
Yeah.
And so
your father was a great guy because he took care of people in their time of need, because he was a medical doctor.
He was a pediatrician.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Saved a lot of lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure. I mean, a lot of people like that. You know what I mean? There's,
He integrated St. Elizabeth Hospital in Beaumont for one of his patients. Mm. I learned this because she saw one of my posts. She's now an adult. This was back in the 60s. But she said, I was 5 years old. I was very, very ill. And the hospital for blacks was not really a hospital and didn't have the kind of equipment that she needed in her state. And someone suggested sending her to my dad. And first of all, they went in and they sat in the front because the front room, the back room at that time, was not yet an allergy lab. That was the Black's waiting room. They sat in the front room, and the nurses said, you know, Dr. Tuma, what should we do? And he said, nothing, send her in. And he examined her, called up St. Elizabeth Hospital and said, I'm sending my patient and you will admit her and I will be over shortly. And this, but doctor, we don't take Black patients here. And he said, I am sending my patient and I will be there shortly. You will admit her. And with that changed, you know, integrated that hospital. That was the end of segregation at St. Elizabeth in Beaumont, and saved his patient because it was too far.
He saved a lot of lives that he never actually saw.
Right.
Because if that hospital then, then out, were taking Black people, a lot of Black people's lives would be saved in that hospital.
Well,
you know, I forget you're in the South. We didn't see a lot of racism here. I mean, you can go to Oakland or one of the cities here where there's some racism, but for the most part in Fremont, I didn't really grow up with it. So,
well, a lot of it, you know, and you don't see it as much. Maybe it's not as obvious, but a lot of it was still there. And there was discrimination against Jews. My parents had a hard time getting hotel rooms and things like that, you know.
I don't remember that being a problem here, but
it's less obvious because, you know, we look white. Right?
Yep. My brother-in-law is Cuban. His parents were from Cuba. His parents have passed away. They're buried, all that kind of stuff. But he's Cuban, but he's as white as you and I and talks like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
But he can speak, write, and read fluently Spanish,
mm-hmm.
which was an asset to the company that he worked for before he retired a year or two ago. But somebody near Wayne in Akron, a company that was based in Akron. But in any case,
Well, I know. I was trying to...
Okay. Everybody shut up for a minute. Especially Alan.
All right. That's all we have time for. In fact, we're a little bit over time. So thank you, Alan and Charlie and Wayne, for joining me here this evening. And my final thought for y'all comes from Molly Ivins. When politicians start talking about large groups of their fellow Americans as enemies, it's time for a quiet stir of alertness. Polarizing people is a good way to win an election and also a good way to wreck a country.